Blog Talk Radio.
I'll say this for him, he's consistent.
Well, he's been so consistent all year.
Not the taste, the consistency.
Consistently, yes.
Consistency!
Thanks, losers.
You're listening to the BGSS
All right.
Network,
hey, everybody.
Where we
Welcome
keep fantasy,
to the fantasy
real.
Football
now, here's Nate Miller.
Show, basically version 0.2 tonight. Had some troubles earlier on trying to record it the first show tonight. Didn't go well. We deleted it, and we're starting over. So we're glad because we couldn't get poor Ron Rigney on here with me. So, Ron, welcome aboard. I'm glad your technical difficulties are all figured out, man.
Yeah, consistency running back awards part due at this point. Glad we got that figured out, man. You got to love that technology. It only malfunctions when you need it to work the most, you know. So that's kind of what I was dealing with earlier.
Well,
but we got all updates installed. We're ready to go now. Let's do it.
Great. Well, that's good because you got off the Mac, and we all know that that's worthless. But anyway, I'm sure there's Mac owners just hung up on us, but or stopped. But that's okay. I know they're very good for things. My daughters both have them. They love them. They will never live without them. But kind of like the iPhone to me. I was like, eh, they're nice. But I'll take my Android and my PCs every day of the week. So anyway, but this week we're going to talk. We're going to give out some awards. The Grammys are going on right now. My wife's downstairs watching them. And so we're excited to give out our own awards tonight. And this week we're doing our, of course, Fantasy Football Consistency Awards from 2017. And last week we did the quarterbacks, and this week we are doing the running backs. And I guess, you know, let's just kind of start off talking about the running backs this year. There was certainly the usual names up top, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, when he didn't miss six games. But his consistency was 90% in the 10 games that he played. So when he was on the field, he was great as usual. Melvin Gordon, LeSean McCoy. You know, those people were all above 75%, and we expect them to be. And you know what? I expect them to be there next year as well, because that's what is great about consistency in these players is that you can rely on them. And it's great to have them up there. Now, we had some new guys, you know, some that maybe the year befores in the past, they showed a little bit of consistency. Obviously, the biggest upgrade this year was Todd Gurley. It was funny because, you know, his rookie season, he was pretty awesome. Going into his second year, you know, I noted in his rookie season that the second half of his rookie season, not that great, didn't show any consistency. Teams seemed to be on top, you know, stack the box and really force the quarterbacks of the time, whatever they were at the time, to kind of beat them and let Todd Gurley, you know, kind of stay in check, and they did. And so when he started coming into 16, you know, he was going as a, you know, top five overall running back. And I said, I can't take him that early. He's not worth a first-round pick because his consistency isn't there. And I don't see any reason why teams wouldn't stack the box in 16. And they did. And, you know, what they found out, though, is Todd Gurley's a pretty good receiver out of the backfield. So while his consistency was down, his total fantasy points were down, everybody pretty much wrote him off as a bust. When in reality, he wasn't that bad. He was about 70% consistent. And in the second half of the year, they started throwing in the ball more. So in a PPR format, he wasn't too bad. And so he was on a lot of my teams because I saw good value. That's in the book. Value in him, and he was going to the second, third round, and I had no problem picking him as an RB1 after I got a great either wide receiver one, or he could be an RB2 if I got a, you know, very good RB1. Needless to say, I expected him to be consistent. I expected him to have a good year. I did not expect him to have almost 400 yards in rush, 400 fantasy points, almost 400. He would have if he would have played his final game. But he took the week off at the end of the year because the Rams had locked a spot. First in total points by 42 points over Le'Veon Bell. That says something. 93% consistency, only had one bad game. Ron, did you see this coming? I don't know if anybody did, but did you see anything that said, I think Gurley's going to have a really monster year?
Well, and I mean, I expected a little bit of a bounce back, but I don't know if anyone really saw what they were going to get out of Nick Foles, or not Nick Foles, but I'm looking at their 2016 roster here. That's why I got Nick Foles on the brain here. I was just going to look at that because you know, when you got guys like Nick Foles and like Case Keenum and those guys in you know, behind center, you're not going to be too successful. So Jared Goff's who I'm talking about. My bad there.
Yeah, right, Jared Goff, yeah.
And I don't think we knew what we were going to get out of him. And I think that was the big question mark. And you know, you see in the offseason they add Sammy Watkins, they draft Cooper Kupp. We kind of talked about those guys last week. We went over quarterbacks. I think that started to kind of trend in the right direction. And another thing that I'm always big on is when you have a change of mindset, whether it be a change in coaches or you have a guy that's kind of toiled on a roster, on a team that hasn't really gone anywhere for a while, and you talk about those teams that the coaches have maybe lost control of the locker room. And, you know, when you go from Jeff Fisher to Sean McVay and you kind of, you know, get that change in the style and that change in the way of thinking, I think that's big. I think that's something too. When you get a guy that comes in and you can kind of see that he's with it, you know, Jeff Fisher is one of those guys that you talk about all the time that when you look at his overall body of work, it's not all that impressive. And so I think that it was a welcome change just in the whole climate of what they've got going on. Maybe it had something to do with moving to LA and getting a new coach and all of that. But I think things just kind of clicked. But, you know, I expected him to bounce back a little bit, but there's no way that I saw the 400 fantasy points and him being at the top of the consistency rankings, which is good because I'm in a couple dynasty leagues, so I was hoping to get some sort of a bounce back, but I don't think I ever saw this coming in any way, shape, or form.
No, definitely a great pick in a dynasty league. He's going to be around for a few years for sure. And, you know, like you said, I think the bounce back of Jared Goff in helping with Sean McVay, you know, calling better plays, giving him, you know, better ways to be successful, certainly always helps a running back to be successful, especially someone as talented as Gurley. And again, just the amount of use in the passing game. I mean, in my mind, he's right up there now, in my opinion, in a PPR format with Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson will be back this year from a, you know, being able to be on the field all three downs at least. So, I mean, right now, you know, I've seen people throw it out there, and I'll throw it out as well. You know, is Gurley the number one pick overall? In my opinion, absolutely. You know, we don't know what's going to – I mean, as of right now. Now, Bell – we assume he's going to stay in Pittsburgh, but, you know, we don't there's a possibility he could move on. I think the Steelers will throw the franchise tag on him if he tries to go somewhere. But, you know, they say that they're getting pretty close in talks for a long-term contract. I think he stays in Pittsburgh, especially since Big Ben has said he'll stay at least 2 to 3 years, which, you know, if you remember last year, Roethlisberger was talking about possibly retiring if things didn't go well for him. So, you know, I think there's some stability there for Bell, the Steelers, et cetera. So, but even with that, I still think Gurley is the best pick right now. I think he, you know, it's certainly not a bad thing if you said, well, I'll take Bell. Johnson, I'm not sure I'm sold on him. I think Zeke might be in the, you know, in that conversation as well. What are your thoughts if you had the number one pick and you were doing a draft for this coming year? Gurley, Bell, Johnson, Zeke, who are you taking?
I think just for all the reasons you said right now, I think I'd go Gurley, but I might almost put Zeke ahead of Bell just because of the uncertainty of it. And I think that, you know, when you think about the Steelers franchise, you think about the greatness that they expect, and you think about the titles they have won, and you think about the head coaches that they have that, you know, they serve for many years. And so I think that they know that window is closing. I think that they saw last year those inklings in the last couple of years, I guess, those inklings of Big Ben just kind of getting to that, you know, twilight of his career. And I think they know that window is starting to kind of close a little bit, but they were also able to add some nice young pieces on both sides of the ball to kind of keep it going a little bit. So I think that they maybe, you know, with a couple draft picks they've made and some pieces that they've added, they'll sign him back. There's no way that they couldn't. And I, when I look at, you know, the Steelers history too, you know, when you look at just kind of what they stand for, they always have, you know, whether it be for a couple of years, they always have that one back that's just kind of that do everything, that grind it out, that hard-nosed guy, and I think he kind of fits that that mentality that they try to have both on defense and in the running game. And so I think that they'll definitely bring him back in the fold. I'd be shocked if they didn't. But I don't think with any of those top three guys, I would be all that upset with any of them at number one. And I wouldn't put David Johnson too far down the line there. I mean, I know him having the year off, it's going to be a little bit before he knocks the rust off, but I don't know if I'd knock him down too many notches, but I definitely don't think he's going to be the number one consideration, which could work out really well in some leagues if you're able to get him a little bit further down the line.
Yeah, no, I think the things that are scaring me in Arizona is Carson Palmer's gone, so now Drew Stanton. Now maybe they go out and get a veteran, but Drew Stanton scares the crap out of me. You know, Fitzgerald may retire before then too, because he had talked about it with Palmer leaving and Arians leaving. You know, so now you're down to John Brown, Jaron Brown. You know, all of a sudden this offense almost looks like the LA Rams 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And the offensive line wasn't that great. I'm a little scared about David Johnson. I'm not sure I'll own him in too many leagues coming up this year, but we'll see. So before we get to the awards, I think, like you said, the other guys, Elliott, Gordon was his, the funny thing is I heard people talk about Gordon having a down year. I mean, 15 total points, 288 fantasy points, 81% consistency. Man, if that's a down year, I'm okay with that.
I had him in one of my dynasties, and it was kind of the same thing for me. When you look at – I think what it was for me is he didn't come through on weeks I really needed him to come through. And then those three that weren't consistency weeks, I think that's kind of where I got a bad taste in my mouth from him. But then I looked at the overall body of work, and I looked at, the rankings on here. And like you said, it's a pretty nice season when you look at it overall for what, quote-unquote, an off season.
Well, and sometimes if a player doesn't do well during weeks 14, 15, 16 – you'll hear people go, oh, he let me down. He sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And, Gordon was a perfect 3-for-3 in the 14, 15, 16. So, I don't know. You know, again, I think it seems like, and I think this is the first year I really heard this for a number of players, that if players aren't blowing up every week or they have a few bad games or – like you said, it just seemed like I heard so many times about players having down years or bad years, and I'd look at the numbers and go, who are they looking at? Is that the same player? And it just shocked me. Mike Evans was one that people – granted, total fantasy points, he definitely had a down year. No question about it. But his consistency was the most he's had since he started. He was almost 75%. Of course, we'll talk about that next week. But I think I heard that about Keenan Allen having a down year. He was like 80% consistent. So, like you said, you hear things, and I just kind of chuckle because I feel like this is the information that if we give out to people, with the book coming out, will come out for 18 to tell people, hey, let everybody else talk about who had down years like Keenan Allen and Julio Jones and these kind of people. Look at the numbers here and don't be afraid to draft them. Because you'll be the one that wins out. Because Gurley was in that realm, like I said, last year during the draft. Everybody was down on Gurley. Nobody wanted Gurley. That team stinks. Jared Goff stinks. They're not going to go anywhere. He's a second, third round pick. He's not a first round pick. And look what happened. The value came up and everybody benefited who got him. So, all right, well, let's get started on our awards. As we said, basically, we've got a few categories here. Some are positive reinforcement categories, and, some are not. I know most awards are supposed to be about doing the best, but we've got some awards that are going to be some awards. And we're going to start off with first value. And this award goes to the running back who had the highest ADP at the beginning of the season, but yet ended the season with the worst combination of total fantasy points inconsistency, therefore being one of the worst values of the year. So, Ron, I'm going to let you start it off and put out some nominations of guys that you feel may have fell into this category.
Well, I know who I want to give this award to. I know who my number one is, but I'm going to let you bring that guy up because I notice when we talk about who he is, I kind of get a picture in my head of you just kind of sitting back and laughing like Dr. Evil when you hear him mentioned. So I'll let you have
right,
that guy.
My
guy I'm going to nominate is DeMarco Murray. And, you know, it's one of those things that I think we kind of at some point, you know, Derrick Henry was going to take over this job. But I don't know if we knew it was going to happen so suddenly. To me, it just kind of seemed like DeMarco Murray just kind of disappeared off the face of the planet this year. And when you look at his stats, you know, he rushed for 659 yards. He did put up six touchdowns. But when you look at where he was drafted as the sixth running back off the board in most cases, you know, you need a little bit more than that. Your number guy, you're in a lot of people too, if you know, depending on who you went, you know, in that first round, if you went with you know, wide out, you went with, you know, whoever it might be, he was a guy that you were counting on some serious production from, and just kind of went, you know, came out of, you know, out of nowhere, and he was a 10th overall guy for two, not looking. But we could compare that with what we're looking at in our consistency ranks. Off, you have to scroll down now. I'm scrolling. Number three on our list as far as distance, 47% clear, 173 total points, 21st overall in points. And, you know, once again, they count on production out of not getting it. And, you know, nothing that I don't think you're going to see. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Mark Green.
All right. Well, I just sent you a little message through the messenger. For some reason, you're breaking up, and I don't know why. You're just kind of chopping in and out. So maybe kind of unplug your microphone or something, give it a shot while I talk. I'm going to throw out some nominations here. My first nomination is going to go to Jordan Howard. I mean, Jordan Howard going into the year was a running back, number seven, certainly higher, you know, very high-ranked player ADP-wise. People were expecting a lot of greatness out of him this year. And, you know, at the end of the year, he's 14th in total points. Not bad. I mean, you expected him to be an RB1. He was an RB2 in total points. But his consistency was 60% or 50%, sorry. So he tied for 20, you know, he was 22nd in points there. So kind of disappointing. You know, and I'll be honest with you, he kind of still scares me going into next year. I've heard a lot of people say, man, he's going to be the Todd Gurley going into next year because everybody's going to be down on him. Well, Mitch Trubisky's still the quarterback, and unless Mitch Trubisky does a Jared Goff, which I'm kind of worried he can pull that off, I'm not sure I'm going to be excited about drafting Jordan Howard anywhere. He just kind of scares me. He had some great games. He had some huge games. But then he would next week pull off a 5-pointer, an 8-pointer. And so just kind of weird that, you know, he just kind of fell apart like that. But my third nominee, and, well, I'm just going to tell everybody now, he's the winner. And as Ron said, you know, I have to chuckle a little bit when this name came up a lot of times during the year. The person is Jay Ajayi, and his preseason ADP going into the year was RB6. I saw him go as high as number 5 overall in some drafts. Just blew me away because his consistency the year before when he had his 200-point games and some big time, you know, certainly was kind of scary. And then, you know, like I said, he gets traded, and everybody's like, okay, now he's going to explode because now he's playing for the Eagles. And at the end of the year, he's 35th in total points, 50% consistency, so tied with Jordan Howard. But, man, that 35th in total points was a real kick in the nuts to anybody who had him. After a while, I don't know how you could even have started him on any week. You know, and most of his clutch games, if I'm not mistaken, were earned in the first half of the year. Four of them before through week 9 and then 3 over the end of the year. Actually had a clutch game in both week 15 and 16. But if you you may have not got to the finals or to the playoffs by then. So hard to tell. So any surprise? I know that you were kind of waiting for me, but what's your thoughts on that, Ron? Ron. I think we lost Ron again. I'm going to hang up on Ron, let him come back. So, all right, we're going to keep moving so that we can keep the show going on. And let's have Ron try to call in again. See what happens. We know this time it wasn't his Mac, so we don't know what happened there. But, all right, so we're going to go to the Best Value Award. So this is kind of the opposite of the scenario. We're looking at the person, the running back who probably had the lowest ADP at the beginning of the year, but ended the season with the best combination of total fantasy points and consistency, therefore making him one of the best values of the year. So I'm going to throw out some nominations here as well of some people that weren't drafted very highly. The first one we could say would be Alvin Kamara. But, you know, I'm not including rookies because I don't feel like, you know, there was – I mean, yeah, we could argue that certainly Kamara would have the best value. But I'm going to go with the fact that, that rookies are kind of different and we're not going to include them in it. So we're going to look at some other guys. We're going to look at some guys way down that – had some good, some low ADPs and then kind of came through for us. One of them is Frank Gore. Frank Gore was RB32 and, it was right there, pretty much everybody gave up on.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello, you there? Ron?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Good.
Woo.
so we're talking about best value guys here, and I threw out as a nomination of Frank Gore. Obviously okay. A lot of people gave up on Frank Gore. He was still consistent back in 2016. I think he was top 15 in consistency and total points. But once again, everybody gave up on him, had him at RB32. And, obviously not a lot of love there, but comes through with, 63% consistency, ranked 20th in total points. So, solid RB2 as we expected, and was tied for 16th in consistency at 63%. Do you have any nominations, or are you still kind of flustered from doing your technology again?
I got my my Texas Instruments T100 calculator here that I got my headset plugged into. I think I got it ready to go. Guy that he kind of fits in that category we were talking about with Melvin Gordon earlier, that is really kind of a sneaky guy that kind of crept up there, and he was actually that team that I had Melvin Gordon on. He was my RB2, and that's Carlos Hyde. And it's one of those things that I don't know. I don't have in front of me how many times he went over 100 yards rushing, or how many different weeks he had a certain number of catches. But he caught the ball quite a bit. But he's got an ADP of 17, and he was our number 10 guy overall. He was 25% as far as being a clutch guy. In our system, and so he was a guy that I got fairly late that I was fairly happy with. I don't know if he can recreate that as we go along here, but nonetheless, he's a guy that you're not going to get huge stats out of. You're not going to get 200 yard rushing games out of. You're not going to get all these great gigantic games, but you're going to get what we're looking for here in consistency is we're looking for that kind of even kill that you can plug and play, and you're going to get whatever, 15, 20 points a week. So, he didn't rush for 1,000 yards. He did have the 8 touchdowns, but he caught the ball really well as well. His receptions jumped from 27 to 59 this season. Didn't have any receiving touchdowns, but if you play in a PPR league, that was big out of where he came from. So the main guy I had for this one was Carlos Hyde. I also like the Frank Gore pick as well. His ADP was way down the line. I don't have it in front of me right now, but I know he
was
not
32.
Oh, there you go. You mentioned it. Okay, so there you go. And I love him too because he's cold as well. So
yeah.
When you look at what he did over the history of his career too, him being a top five rusher, you got to give him. Guy's indestructible. I think he's part Terminator. So.
Oh yeah, I agree. And he's talking about coming back again, and. Yeah. Everybody's like, Marlon Mack's the man. Well, there was opportunities that Marlon Mack had this year, and I think they realized that Marlon Mack is not the man.
Well, he's not built to be that. He's not built to be that guy, I don't think. So it wouldn't shock me if they take a hard, long look at Saquon Barkley in the draft, but we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if that happens. Going back to your Carlos Hyde, that's another one of the guys that I heard over the last month on Fantasy Radio of people talking about what a terrible year he had, and nobody can see any reason why the 49ers would sign him for a long-term deal. And I'm like, he's 8th in total fantasy points, 75% consistency. He tied LeSean McCoy and Mark Ingram. How does this guy have a bad year? So I think they will re-sign him. I think he's a perfect fit in Shanahan's offense. You know, he has his moments. I mean, but let's be honest, he's still in the top 10 in consistency. I don't see how the 49ers don't re-sign him. But I guess we'll see what the offseason brings. I'd be shocked if they let him go. I don't think Breida or whoever, Britta or whatever the guy is behind him is going to be the man. But, again, you know, I've seen stranger things happen. But, that's another guy that, like I said, another one of those players that I heard that just didn't have a great year and, you know, worthless fantasy-wise, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, nope, not according to our numbers. So anyway.
Well, and after about, like, week 12, I always hear people calling up, too, you know, should I drop Carlos Hyde for such and such who's on waivers? And I was kind of thinking the same thing. I'm like, he may not be flashy like those guys at the top, but, I mean, as far as plugging him in as an RB2, especially in a PPR, I'll take that all day long. And the other thing I want to throw in, too, real quick, is let's not forget what the offense did in Atlanta under Kyle Shanahan, too.
Right.
So
which is
that builds well for him.
I thought Hyde would have a decent year, and he did.
I
didn't get to draft him as much. It never seemed like he got on too many of my teams, and I don't know why. Maybe because I was taking Gurley in the second or third round. Well, Hyde was probably going the fourth or fifth. But, yeah, like I said, he's one of those guys that if he stays in San Francisco and stays on that offense, I'll guarantee you he's going to be on my team if he sits in that fourth, fifth round as my RB2. But anyway, so let's throw out one more nomination, and that is Duke Johnson. And I'll just do like I did with Ajayi. He's also our winner. Duke Johnson also had 75% consistency. So Duke Johnson, in a PPR format, tied Carlos Hyde, LeSean McCoy, and Mark Ingram. His ADP going into the season was RB39. He played for the Browns, so that's another kick in the nuts to everybody. But this guy had, for a team that went 0-16, he was definitely the lone bright spot for the Browns. Quietly ended the season ranked 11th in total points in a PPR format, and then tied for 7th in consistency. Folks, if you want to win some bar bets, just throw that information out, and I guarantee you're winning some free drinks. Say, where did Duke Johnson rank in total fantasy points in a PPR format and see what people say? And I guarantee you they're probably not going to say top 12. But, you know, then you throw in the 75% consistency, and that's not bad. And, again, you know, we hope the Browns have a little bit of an improvement on the offensive side going into the year, whether it's a free agent quarterback, new quarterback, some new weapons, if Joe Thomas is going to play, great. If not, get somebody to replace him. And I think he'll continue to, you know, thrive in Cleveland because teams always behind. They always need to throw the ball, and that's where he got a lot of his points. So he's our winner for best value. Any surprise there?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, you kind of laid out the argument. I won't repeat a lot of what you said, but I think another thing that bodes well for him is he could be getting a few more chances because, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Isaiah Crowell is a free agent. Is that right?
It is. You know, I don't know what they're planning on doing with him.
Yeah.
Got his act together in the second half of the year. I really thought he'd have a big year, as did a lot of people. He could have been a nomination for the worst value because I'm pretty sure ADP-wise he was, he was RB14. And I was drinking the Kool-Aid because I'm like, I saw him run. He got a, you know, great offensive line now, and they're going to need to use him a lot. And nope, that didn't happen. So, you know, Duke ended up being the man. So, interesting enough. So, all right, well, let's move on. We're about halfway through the show here. So we're going to look at Rookie of the Year. And, boy, we got a lot of nominations for Rookie of the Year. I mean, I think everybody kind of knows who's going to be the winner here. But we'll wait to the end. But holy cow, you know, just before I turn it over to you, Ron, for nominations, you know, let's go back to my article that I write every year for the book, which talks about how rookies are kind of a crapshoot. And the past has shown, the statistics I've put out since 2010, less than 8% of all quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends drafted in the first four rounds, less than 8% of them in their rookie season earn over a 60% consistency rating. And 60% is okay. It's not great, but it's okay. But that just shows you that it's tough for rookies. And yet this year, in running backs alone, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 running backs all over 60%. Now, I have to say, Dalvin Cook, his over 60% is only 3 for 4. But let's be honest, if Dalvin Cook would have played the whole year, he probably would have been over 60% consistent. But, you know, Christian McCaffrey, Kareem Hunt, Alvin Kamara, Leonard Fournette, and like I said, and Dalvin Cook, all were over 65% or 60% consistency. What do you want to start with one of those guys to nominate? Because they all surely are worth it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to kind of nominate them all here. So it's anybody you throw out here, it's kind of like it's kind of a Captain Obvious pick. But I think the first guy I'm going to say here is Leonard Fournette. I mean, you know, you look at he was kind of a knucklehead a couple times. You know, he missed a game just because of disciplinary reasons, and he still finished with that. And he actually finished with a higher consistency rating than Alvin Kamara did. As we ended up here at the end of the year. And so it was one of those things, once again, you know, he had some big games, but also he had some games that were just solid and consistent across the board. He did only average about 3.9 yards per attempt, but at the same time, I think there was a lot of games where, you know, they stacked the box against the run, and Blake Bortles had to try to create things out of that, and we all know he's not the best at doing that. But he did score. Leonard Fournette did score 9 times on the ground. He had 1 through the air as well. He did have 36 catches for 302 yards, so he gave you a little bit through the air in addition to that. So I think he's the first guy that you have to nominate. And real quick too, you know, you mentioned Dalvin Cook. Shame Dalvin Cook went down, because man, he was fun to watch in those four games that he was up, and I'm kind of waiting to see what he can put up. You know, if he can stay healthy for a full season. I hope that doesn't kind of become a characteristic of his, that he's going to be injury prone. And also, real quick, I'll mention, you know, Christian McCaffrey as well. I don't think he necessarily got – I don't think he got as many opportunities to run the ball, I think, as he should. But, you know, we all kind of know what we expected out of him as far as his game. But if you had him in a PPR – he definitely came through for you with 80 catches. I don't know if anybody really saw him having 80 receptions for the season with the 5 touchdowns, 7 touchdowns overall. Only had 435 yards on the ground, only averaged about 3.7. But I will say, in the few times I did see him play, I did like what I saw sometimes for seeing him run between the tackles. And I know he had that reputation coming out of college that he wasn't really that guy. And so he did fulfill kind of what we thought he was going to do. I think he met expectations a little bit beyond his receiving stats, but I'd like to see them hand him the ball a little bit more on the ground. But overall, you got to like what he gave you as well with the production in the passing game. Yeah, and ended up being 69% consistency too. That's pretty solid number for a rookie as well, kind of like you alluded to before.
And he tied with one of my nominations, which is Kareem Hunt. You know, Kareem, you know, the funny thing is, and yet sad, is if you asked most people, how was Kareem Hunt's year? They would have said, well, he started off like wildfire, but he sucked the rest of the year. Yeah, well, he ended up 4th in total points. So, yeah, he did have his moments in the second half of the season. He started off with 7 straight clutch games. And then over the last 9 games, he only got 4. Yeah, so his second half sucked. I give you that. But in the end, he had 11 of 16, 63% of McCaffrey, 4th in total. You know, the question is, okay, now what happens next year if Alex Smith goes away and Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback? Now you've got a rookie quarterback. Are teams going to stack the box on him and we stop Kareem Hunt and until Patrick Mahomes beats us, is that going to be a problem? You know, that's the question you have to ask yourself is, are you going to take that chance to draft Kareem Hunt in the first round if Alex Smith goes away? Now, I know people will be like, well, Alex Smith sucks, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but Alex Smith is still a veteran that can keep most teams at bay when he needs to. You can count on him. He'll make mistakes, there's no question, but he's not a rookie quarterback that is going to be flustered and, you know, kind of like, you know, whether it's Kaiser for the Browns or, you know, Jared Goff was in his first season, you know. So let me throw that out to you, Ron. Kareem Hunt's available in the first round. We'll assume it'll be late first round based on all the really solid running backs there are above him. Let's say you're sitting 10th and you've got to pick either Kareem Hunt or a very solid, we don't know who that, we'll say it's not Hopkins, Jones, or Antonio Brown or Beckham. So whatever that is next, we'll throw it out as Michael Thomas or AJ Green or Kareem Hunt. Who are you picking?
I'd have to go with both receivers there. I mean, and that's not anything – that's not saying I don't like Kareem Hunt. I wouldn't be opposed to picking him, but I'm just – I mean, I'm an AJ Green guy anyway, and I think we'll kind of allude to this next week when we look at the wide receivers. Michael Thomas was highly consistent last year, and I think he's another guy that a lot of people were talking about, you know, that you're not getting the points from. And the thing is, if I had him in a standard league, and I could see where – especially if you invest in him as your wide receiver one, he wasn't getting you as many points there, you know, because he didn't have the touchdowns every week. But still, I'll take 6 for 75 in a PPR all day long. Said, I just happen to like those two guys. So you threw out a couple of my guys there, but I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. If somebody goes that way, though.
Well, let's say you're picking 12, and those two guys are gone, and now Hunt's sitting there, and I won't say any other wide receivers. I'll just say, you've got some more solid receivers there, but not great receivers. Is Hunt a better choice at 12?
I think so. I mean, if you're sitting there at 12, you're sitting there at the turn, and you can maybe pair, you know, if you go running back, I mean, if you could pair him with a guy, maybe like, you know, you take Hunt, maybe you could get, I don't know, Duke Johnson there. Maybe you could, maybe McCoy slides down there a little ways. You know, another guy that I think might be rising up draft boards a little bit that, you know, we haven't really talked about yet, but I like how he ended the season. Joe Mixon's a guy you might be able to put at your RB2. So if you compare him with a nice RB2, I have no problem taking him at 12. I saw a lot that I liked out of him, and you know, the overall, the numbers weren't terrible at the end of the year. It's just, you know, he didn't put up the big flashy games every week like we got so used to in the beginning of the year. So I have no problem with that.
We're gonna see, I believe, and I assume you do too. I feel like there is going to be a flip-flop this year where last year there was like 8 out of 12 in the first round were wide receivers. I feel like 8 out of 12 this year will be running backs. You agree?
Oh, I totally agree. And, it makes me – I was trying to fit this in earlier. I was just trying to find a place to put it, you know. How about that zero RB theory that was so popular a few years ago? Man, that lasted about a year, and in that year that everybody tried it, it seemed like it didn't quite go the way you wanted it to. So, right. I mean, these guys are I hate that phrase, bell cow, but that's kind of the best way to put it. I mean, these are the guys that are going to win you your money. You know, I mean, think of how many people, if you got it right last year and you gambled on Elliott, you added a guy like Gurley and a guy, you know, I had a guy in my one league.
And you got Kamara or
yeah, you, I mean, you gamble right on these guys, they're going to win you your leagues flat out. You know, I had a guy in my league last year that took a gamble on Elliott, had Elliott, Gurley, and ended up with Kareem Hunt. I mean, and he could start all three of them every week because we had a flex. So, I mean, he was sitting pretty at the end of the year. So, these running backs are going to win you your cash. Definitely.
Yeah, no, exactly. The key this year is now they're all going in the first round. So now you either got to get some or you've got to have some great, because basically by at the end of the first round, now you have either some questionable running backs to pick or you pick two really good wide receivers, which is probably what I do. And so, I'm going to have to try to find those RB1 and 2s that are going to go late. Maybe let's Carlos Hyde and Dalvin Cook, Carlos Hyde, Joe Mixon, you know, or, you know, somebody like that that I can get, or McCaffrey, or, you know, depending. So, all right, well, we only got 20 minutes left. We got a lot to get through. So, anyway, so our winner is, and my next nomination and winner is obviously Alvin Kamara. You know, even though Fournette's had a little bit better clutch rating at 85% over Kamara's 81%, Fournette missed three games. So that left Kamara being third in total points for the year, Fournette only 10th. So Kamara is our walk-away winner at the Rookie of the Year. So we're going to move right into clutch less and clutch more. So clutch less is a guy that had a high ranking in total fantasy points, but his consistency was lower than expected, therefore making him look more valuable due to high point ranks, but really not worth that to the fantasy teams that had him. I'm going to let you have one nomination, and you can either pick the winner or not pick the winner, and then I'll do the other one, and then we'll, that way we'll make sure we get done, because like I said, we only got 20 minutes.
Okay, I'll speed it up here a little bit. I won't talk for too long, but the guy that I'm going to go with here, and I won't dive too deep into his numbers, is Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis, 15th in total points. He's our 23rd consistent running back out the board. He's only at 50%. And I don't know. So once again, I mean, you know, you get teased into every week with these Patriot running backs. I try to avoid them like the plague. And I know that some weeks you gamble right, you get it right. And Deion Lewis probably was the one that you wanted most weeks out of all of them. But he's probably my guy that looks a little bit better overall as far as when you compare it to consistency rank.
All right, well, my recommendation, my nomination is Jordan Howard. Basically, Jordan Howard almost beat Ajayi out for worst value since he was a first-round ADP, but we just hate Jay Ajayi that much more. But if you looked at Howard's total fantasy points of the year, you saw a ranking of 14th. No, it wasn't first-round value by any stretch, but it gets worse. He had a 50% clutch rate, which ranked him 22nd. Yeah, having Mitch Trubisky at quarterback didn't help. It wasn't much better in 2016 anyways. I think I'm going to stay away from him in 2018, and he wins our Clutch Less Award. Your thoughts?
I think that's 100% solid. You know, he fits in a lot of these categories as far as these negative awards, just because of the hype train that followed him coming into the season. So I have no argument whatsoever with that.
Right. So let's move on to the clutch more. Again, obviously the opposite of clutch less. Had a low ranking in total points, but his consistency was higher than expected, therefore making him look less valuable going into next year than when he was actually worth more. Go ahead with your nomination.
I'm going to look here at Leonard Fournette, you know, and I hate to give away the big prize here, but you know, he's a guy that I think that you can kind of throw out there with that.
Yeah. And, you know, my thought too was Ezekiel Elliott, you know, 12th in total points, but he missed six games. Mm-hmm. We all know that, you know, Duke Johnson was 11th in total points, had some consistency, but you're right. Leonard Fournette wins this, you know, he missed three games. You know, this is the kind of guy though that worries me a little bit. He always seemed to have this ankle injury, and then you come back and play, and he do pretty well. And then he talk about the ankle injury, and, you know, and then he had a brainless move of missing team meetings. And, you know, he kind of reminds me of like a, you know, the Dez Bryant-esque type kind of guy that you're just like, man, you know, those weeks when you need him to be there for you and you expect him a big game and he does something stupid, or, you know, this ankle that seems to always be bothering him. But like you said, he's certainly worth it. And when he was on the field, 85% consistency. So hard to argue, but he did miss three games as a rookie. So, all right, let's move on to the clutch comeback player of the year, and throw out your nomination for the comeback player of the year.
Well, hands down, I don't know how you can make an argument for too many guys more than this guy. And that's Mark Ingram with the 75%. You know, clutch rating that we gave him, you know, finished up 6th in total points. And you know, when you look at what he came off of in 2015, I mean, he was right there at the top of the list as far as guys that you were going to take. And then 2016, you know, it seemed like he was in the doghouse. It seemed like he was kind of on the outs with Sean Payton. And I'm not really sure what the story was there, but you had Tim Hightower kind of coming out of nowhere, you know, from his glory days in Arizona, and hadn't even carried a football in I don't know how many years. And he was a guy that was winning people titles, at the end of 2016. So Mark Ingram is a guy that definitely, I think that, you know, when you look at the value that you got from him, as far as where you were able to draft him, if you took him, you know, he's 19th running back off the board, 44 overall. I think you got to be happy. And despite what Alvin Kamara was able to do, you know, there's certain weeks that you could have started both of those guys on the same team and rolled to victory. So I think Mark Ingram, hands down, has got to get this one.
Yeah, the guy I'm going to throw out is a nomination for me is Carlos Hyde. You know, the year before, you know, his kind of – I think that was his rookie year. You know, he did okay. I think there was some higher expectations, you know, but he just didn't seem to click, and you're like, oh, is he really going to make it? You know, yeah, he was 62% consistent in 2016, 18th in total points. So, you know, I was like, I don't know. But like I said, nice comeback. Kent got it up to 75%, 8th in total points. So certainly did a nice job of coming back. But you are correct. There's no questions asked when it comes to who wins this one. And Mark Ingram, like you said, coming back from that 2016. You know, the funny thing was going into this year, when I was putting the book together, I really had pretty much planned on Ingram being ranked pretty high. I mean, probably close to top 12, because I felt like they got rid of Tim Hightower. He's out of the doghouse, you know, and then they get Adrian Peterson in preseason or, you know, and during free agency. And I'm like, oh man, I can't, you know, and then they draft Kamara. So I'm like, you can't put too much faith in a three-headed monster in New Orleans, you know. And I kept thinking, well, maybe I should, you know, and part of me was like, I should have drafted Ingram later because everybody, of course, was down on him. You know, I don't, again, rookies are not my thing. I heard some decent things about Kamara, but again, you're taking a chance. And plus, Kamara's going to have to beat out Adrian Peterson and Mark Ingram. That can't happen, right? But then, of course, they trade him away. Things open up, and, you know, as they say, the rest is history. And both of them had, you know, very consistent years. You know, like you said, I don't see any reason to believe that that won't continue probably at the same pace. You know, now, granted, both of them will be playing, you know, all year as number one, 1A and 1B. You know, I was talking about how, you know, end of that first round where a lot of the running backs are going to be gone. You know, I can see maybe picking, like you said, an A.J. Green and Michael Thomas as your top two wide receivers, and then Ingram could be your RB1, you know, at the end of the third round, match him up with, like we talked before, you know, McCaffrey or, you know, Mixon or Cook or somebody like that. I think, you know, he could be that RB1 after the first two rounds or in round three that could really be, you know, a nice positive player to get. We'll just have to see where the ADPs all fall out. But definitely Mark Ingram, comeback player of the year. So, all right, that brings us to our final award. I think we said it earlier to kind of know who's going to win this. But, you know, it's still pretty close. So I'll let you throw out the first nomination, and whatever you throw out, I know who I'm coming back with second.
Well, you know, and I don't want to, you know, do the layup here. I want to try to make an argument for a guy that's not, you know, because I'm going to let everybody in on a little secret. I know who's going to win the award already. So I'm going to go here with our guy that we just talked about, Alvin Kamara. And I base that on where you were able to get him as far as ADP-wise. When you look, you know, we laid out the argument for what he did as far as Rookie of the Year. I mean, he's over 300 fantasy points. He's third in total points. He's 81% clutch rating. And, you know, I'm trying to, you know, as I scroll down my ADP chart here, he's the 53rd running back off the board. He's 166th pick. And so I think you can make a solid argument for that, because when you look at how valuable he was, I mean, for getting a guy that was probably, you know, when you look at him there, your RB3, RB4, RB5, depending upon where you picked in the draft. And, you know, he was a lottery ticket that ended up winning you the jackpot. So, I you know, I like I said, I kind of know who's going to win this already, but I think you can make a great case for him just based on ADP.
Well, that's why we give out more of the awards than just the MVP, and that's why, of course, you know, Kamara was Rookie of the Year, and we probably could have gave him Best Value. You know, I said earlier, and I think this is when you might have kicked out, You know, I don't put rookie in at best value because it's hard to say, well, his ADP was this because he was a rookie at the beginning of the year, so there wasn't a lot of love for him. Well, that's true. So, you know, we could have probably handed him the best value award and nobody would have argued. Plus, there are awards, so we can do what we damn well want. But as you said, you know, Todd Gurley is my nomination and is the winner, of course. And, you know, Le'Veon Bell made it close. You know, Le'Veon Bell's probably won this, him and David Johnson. But Bell's always up there, number one, two. Certainly always gives everybody a run for their money. You know, they were both 93% consistent. They both basically took a week off. You know, the surprising thing that Le'Veon Bell's one miss the whole year was the first game of the season against the Cleveland Browns. That's what I think I just chuckle about all year. But, you know, again, Gurley was 42 points ahead of him, you know, and kind of comparing him to Kamara. You know, if Gurley plays the last game, he beats Kamara by 100 points. But we could probably also argue that Kamara really didn't play much of the first three games when Peterson was there too. So, yeah, maybe if Kamara played from game one, heck, we might have seen a lot different scenario. But I don't think anybody can argue, and this is why I totally believe there's no argument with why Todd Gurley wins, and I'm going to talk about weeks 15 and week 16 because I had him in those two weeks, and man, you want to talk about not sweating the playoffs for the first time in my probably 30-year career of fantasy football. Holy cow, when your running back is going off for 40 and 45 points, or 42 and 45 points, or whatever it was, and your average is 45 points for those 2 weeks. When you're playing in the playoffs and you see that kind of performance, it's hard not to want to give him a big hug and kiss on the cheek. But it was great, and you know that's why I think a lot of people probably have him, you know, being the number one pick overall. I did find it entertaining. I think you probably saw this too, that Gurley kind of tweeted out to tell everybody to leave him alone. Now after he got those two games and said, you're welcome for the championship. Just leave me alone.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting, kind of funny, but needless to say, like I said, he was, you know, the winner of the MVP and certainly the most consistent at, right up there with Bell. But, you know, as we talked, the running backs are going to be big time this year. And whether it's 8 out of 12, 9 out of 12, who knows? You know, I mean, basically Antonio Brown, I assume Beckham will go first round. You know, after that, maybe Julio, maybe, like I said, maybe Antonio, Julio, and Beckham. So it could be nine. I mean, we could see nine running backs go in the first round. It's hard to tell. I mean, but it's definitely going to be a heavy running back scenario. It's going to be exciting to see where these ADPs start falling out as we get closer to the summer. But I got to believe it's going to be a heavy running back situation as we head towards that. So any more thoughts, Ron, on the running backs? You know, if you're looking at them, you ranked, let's say, you know, we know Gurley, Bell, Zeke, and we'll go David Johnson are the first four. You can flip them as you want, and most people probably can't argue. After that, let's say you're picking fifth. Are you going Antonio Brown or are you going with the running back?
I don't know. It's tough to pass up Antonio Brown there, but the thing to me with Antonio Brown is he's so reliant on Ben Roethlisberger. We know that Ben Roethlisberger is not getting younger. We know that he's not the most he's not Michael Vick by any means as far as his mobility. And so, you know, once he goes out, it's almost like Antonio Brown becomes that, you know, that 7-catch, 60-yard receiver, and you're not really necessarily, I kind of alluded to that with Michael Thomas. I mean, that's not all bad, but when you're taking a guy, you know, top three picks, top four picks overall, it's tough to take him. And so I think I might go with the running back spot. You know, you got to look at guys there at number five. You know, you're going to assume Gurley's off the board. You're going to assume Bell's off the board. I'd probably Elliott as well. I mean, you've got to take a long, hard look at guys like Fournette, guys like Gordon and Ingram as well. I mean, I don't have a problem with taking a running back there at all. But, you know, once again, Antonio Brown scares me because I think I actually had him a couple of years ago when Ben Roethlisberger missed a few games and he just disappeared. And so, you know, when you have a backup coming in that can't get him the ball like Big Ben and have that rapport, you know, like they have, I think that really hurts his value a lot. And but you can't, you know, also too, when he's on, he's on. I mean, he's money.
Yeah.
And he showed that towards the end of last season. So I think I would lean more running back there, just depending upon who's on the board. I don't think I have a whole lot of problem with taking, you know, a guy like I said, if Zeke Elliott slips down that far, I think he'd be pretty solid there at number five. He'd be a guy I'd like to target there if he slid that far.
Yeah, and actually, well, that's why I was saying Zeke would be out. So Bell, okay. Gurley, Zeke, and David Johnson are gone. Who's your fifth pick? Who's your fifth?
I still don't think it's all bad looking at Leonard Fournette there. I really don't.
Okay.
I think he's going to get the work. I mean, that's the other thing too. You got to look at, he's going to get the consistent work. I don't think there's anybody there that's anywhere close to challenging him for carries, and you know they're going to hand him the ball. You know the volume's there. I mean, yeah, he does have some nagging injuries. He can be a knucklehead at times, but I don't know. I mean, it's better for me when I know a guy's going to get the handoff and get the ball consistent, instead of, I have it always in the back of my head that I just don't trust Ben Roethlisberger, and I'm afraid that, you know, if he goes down, Antonio Brown's production goes down with him.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, we saw at the end of the year, Antonio had a, you know, injury, came back fairly quick, but, you know, he's not getting any younger. And, mm-hmm. you know, the wear and tear on that body over time, you know, are we going to start seeing more of the Nixon, you know, and hobbling off the field at times and that kind of stuff happen? You know, but as I said, and we'll talk about next week, it's hard to beat when that boy's on the field. And
yeah,
he always seems to be there most of the time. I think, like you said, he only, you know, missed the one game this year, and it's tough to argue. You know, and I think the thing for me, and I would probably take Antonio Brown. And here's why, is because I don't know who to take, and I don't feel 100. I can make arguments for everybody at number five of why I should take him and why I shouldn't. And when I know what I'm getting in Antonio Brown, it's hard not to take him. You know, because
I agree, and you can make a great argument for him too, absolutely. And it's very close. I mean, it's not something that's a slam dunk either.
Yeah. If there was an automatic fifth, and people probably would argue and say, well, Kamara, obviously, third in total points, 81% consistency, he's gonna play a full year. Why would you not take Alvin Kamara? Well, I got one word, concussion. I mean, already in his rookie season, he missed a game because of a concussion. And I realize it can happen to anybody, but usually when it starts, it doesn't get any better. And so, you know, I don't know. It's, you know, it's just no other rookie went out with a concussion this year, except him.
Mm-hmm.
And he missed the whole game. And I think he did come back, you know, for the next week, right? Or did he, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. But it's still one. And, you know, it's, you know, he plays at a very high pace. You know, he's flying around out there. He's got a lot of speed. So, like I said, it's – but, like I said, you could also argue for Fournette, Kamara, Gordon, Ingram, McCoy – maybe Kareem Hunt, and I don't know about that high. I think any of those. Now, I know McCoy will fall.
Mm-hmm.
He probably will fall out of the round just because he's old. And everybody's like, oh, well, he's done. You know, well, yeah. Seventh in total points, 75% consistent again. You know, hopefully the Bills get a better quarterback. It will help him a little bit. You know, but you saw a lot of games where he had his bumps and bruises and, you know, struggles at times, but he always gets through it. And he played all 16 games again. So I'm really hoping somebody like McCoy would fall to the second round and be a great, you know, RB1 kind of pickup there. So, all right. Well, hey, once again, thank you, Ron, for toughing it out. You had your bumps and bruises at technology wise. But you got
my consistency rate. I would definitely not get a clutch game tonight. That's for sure.
Well, I think you had a technology concussion. I think you'll have to check your protocol for the next week before next week's show. But thanks again for being a part of this. The Super Bowl will be coming up next weekend, and probably even more exciting is the fact that on Saturday night, they'll announce next year's Hall of Fame inductees, so I can see who I get to drive. So I'm hoping John Lynch gets inducted. That's what I want. I don't want any big names this year. But I'd love to have John Lynch, so that'd be great. So for Ron Rigney, Ron, thank you again. We'll talk to you next week, and everybody have a great week. This is the Fantasy Football Consistency Show, and we are out of here.